Today is the fourth Sunday after Advent. The second collection is for the Academy, the Mother of Lou prayer after Mass today. A reminder that this is for general vocations, not only to the priesthood, but the mothers are encouraged to come to the communion rail and recite the short prayer after Mass. There are two events today. One is the Academy concert at 1 o'clock. You're invited to attend if you wish. And then following that will be the lighting ceremony for the creche on the corner of Warner's and Newport, a 3 or 4 year tradition now that the public authorities, the civil authorities have given us permission to expose this image of our Lord in public. So I do thank all those who helped set that up. And if you're able to go there around 2:30 following the Christmas concert outside today. You'll see in the bulletin the Christmas schedule. Please do reflect upon it. There is Matins at 8 o'clock. Some of you know what that is. Others don't. Please inquire. And then we have Confessions at 10, Midnight Mass. There are only two Masses on Sunday, the Midnight Mass and the 10 in the morning. Please pray for those who will take exams these next few days in the Academy. Anyone who has done their exams, congratulations. In college, but those in high school will take them this coming week. And lastly, thank you for all of those who help clean and decorate for the Christmas season. Much work was put in. Very few people were here, but if you were not able, please do pray for those who came, and I do thank all of you for that. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful, but to me it is a very small thing to judge you, to be judged by you or by men's day. But neither do I judge of my own self, for I am not conscious of myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. The gospel is taken from St. Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip, his brother, tetrarch of Etruria, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Alabina, under the high priests Annas and Caiaphas. The word of the Lord was made unto John, the son of Zachary, in the desert, and he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it was written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Prepare you the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful of our Lord Jesus Christ, this last portion of Advent is important. For some of us, we're getting tired. Other of us are just already celebrating in the spirit of the world. This last Sunday is an opportunity for us to gather strength and to end well. We will try to take it from an account that took place this past week in the Academy, as an Academy is a place of formation, a place wherein we are taught, and those not accustomed to all of the details, it comes from the pulpit to you. On Thursday, there was a field trip, something that the young little children love and the old ones think is boring at times. But the youngest children of the Academy went to the most. It is the Museum of Science and Technology here in Syracuse, a place where You can learn, you can enjoy, but these children coming on Thursday morning preparing for what they thought was the best thing on earth, they were so enthused and they could barely focus on their studies. One child said, "I am so excited to go to this museum. I am as excited as the Blessed Virgin Mary was when she was about to give birth to her son." This is from a kindergartner. And out of children's mouths comes the truth. We want to be innocent like these children. And although this child does not realize that he could never be as excited as Our Lady was, his expression, as he knew, is profound. We want to ask ourselves the question, are we as excited to go to the most as he was to the most? The museum of sanctity and trust is the image before us. You can say the manger of sanctity and trust. We want to reflect upon the manger scene, which for some of us has come too early before our eyes. But providentially, we have a whole week, at least in this chapel, some in your homes, to reflect upon the most. And we want to aspire to the innocence of this child, to the profoundness of the intellect of a kindergartner, because we ought to be like him, one who desires the most. And for us, it's going to be that museum of sanctity and trust. Our Lord is to come down, as in that museum of science and technology, there are great experiments, there are great expositions of what took place. And that is what a manger is. It is a historical place. It is a museum wherein we see holiness. We can look at holiness in different ways. We can see the experiment showing us holiness. And what we want to take from it is not technology or the fruits from science only, but what we want to take from the manger is trust. Trust in Almighty God. That is why today the Catechism of the Council of Trent presents to us two ideas. The first, that dogmatic point that Christ is Lord. In that manger was born the incarnate Word of God. Father LaRue, the rector of the seminary, wrote in his recent letter, his monthly letter that you may read, that we want to see Christ as taking flesh. We at times just think he's God, this celestial being that has to rule our lives and to whom we must go at the end of time. But this time of Christmas is to remember that that God, that being who is supreme, has assumed human nature, has taken our flesh to be with us and to help us get to heaven. And that is what we celebrate in a week's time. We want to see Christ as Lord, our Lord and Savior, the one who has redeemed and who is coming as a child for one purpose only, to redeem. That is why we're happy. But to remember that God, the second person, became man. That's a truth that we often forget. And that truth yet is redeeming. And if we remember this, we can then see what command we were given in the gospel, parate viam Domini, prepare the way of the Lord. If we see Christ as God and Savior, if we proclaim as something wherein there is sanctity and in which we have to have trust, we want to tell everyone about it. We want to keep it ourselves. We want to be like this child who wasn't excited enough just to go and see the things, to experience the thrill, but he wanted to make known to the world. He made the Friday letter. He has now made history because he proclaimed to the world that he was as excited as the Blessed Virgin Mary was. Are we similarly excited for Christmas, that we celebrate the birth of our Savior? We do not want to hide this. We don't want to be ashamed of it. We want the world to know that Christ is Lord. And how we do this is up to us. We want to bring people together to celebrate, but also we have to reflect upon our duties now, this last week. And that is the second point. The moral aspect is that we have a conscience. We hear in today's epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that we are not our own judge. We are to be judged by God. And that's what we know, but we often forget that what we do, what we say, what we think will be judged by God, our Lord and Savior. And we know what we do is either right or wrong. And this last week of Advent is not a time to celebrate Christmas. Christmas Eve is a day of fast and abstinence traditionally. Of course, in many of our families, it's also part of the Christmas party with one relative and then Christmas Day with another. We can make other sacrifices, but the spirit of the law, our intentions ought to be sacrifice. Why? Because the greatest of all is going to be born tomorrow. Before something great, we want to do some penance. It's the Catholic spirit. Before the great feast of the Immaculate Conception, traditionally there was a day of fast and abstinence. Before Easter, of course, we have the great days of penance. But before Christmas, you are encouraged to make some sacrifice. And this last week, you have confessions every day, as is normal. But are we going to make that good confession? Or are we going to wait to the end? And although there are 2 hours before midnight Mass, so many people come. So many people who need confession. So let us think this last week of how we will remember that we are not our own judge, but God, who is asking us to be more pure, more detached from things of earth. And although the Christmas music is out there, although gifts are being purchased, although the world is not excited because now we're not buying enough. That's the world. They're calculating. We have not bought enough this season. Thank God that people are not only reserving their funds for greater things, but they're being less distracted by the world. We should take pride in that. And this last week, note that we have the opportunity to truly follow that command, prepare the way of the Lord. You're encouraged in two ways to do so. The offertory of the Mass, which will be said shortly, is the Hail Mary. In Scripture, Luke chapter 1, the offertory, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That prayer that we say often, half of it is today's offertory. Remember that. It's in Scripture. It's in the Mass. It's in our rosary. Say the Hail Mary often this week. That's the spirit of the church. Teach another the Hail Mary. There was one person who recently said they were raised Catholic. Catholic parents never once did that family, having 11 children, ever say the rosary. That's impressive. He had to teach himself the rosary when he was an adult. God bless him. He learned the Hail Mary. He learned the Apostles' Creed. He learned how to say the rosary. And yet what was unfortunate as well is that he went back and found in his drawer a First Communion rosary that he was given because it's just what we do. As in Christmas time, it's just what we do. We give presents. But he never knew how to use that rosary. But God inspired him. Mary encouraged him. And he followed by saying the rosary, not once, but now he leads his family in the daily rosary. Don't ever think that a Catholic knows the Hail Mary. Don't think that a Catholic knows how to celebrate Christmas. You meet Catholics all the time. We are Catholics ourselves, but it's our duty to prepare the way of the Lord, to share these little things and this little grace of the Hail Mary. And lastly, in the bulletin, which you've seen before, is that novena of St. Andrew. Even if you haven't said it yet, the 15 times a day, this one prayer, Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my petitions through the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Redeemer. That prayer is something you can take this last week because it will help you to focus on the whole purpose of this week, Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.